Today, I'd like to share with you the story of a man with an unusual passion and a generous heart, two things that don't always go hand in hand.
I was 12 years old. My parents decided to renovate our family home, which was a very old home. And when they were taking apart a wall, a huge coin fell out of the wall, and I picked it up, and it said 1 cent, Canada, 1918.
It was a moment that was to ever change the life of Father Bernie O'Connor, today an official at the Pontifical Council for Oriental or Eastern Churches here at the Vatican.
And at that moment, I began to realize that money wasn't always the same as we know it today. And a few days later, my parents said, "Why don't you write to a company that's advertising in the local paper and find out what your 1 cent is worth?" Well, I found out it was worth 7 cents. How it cost more for the postage stamps.
For Father Bernie, finding that coin marked the beginning of a lifelong journey of discovery. What makes our currency systems tick and mutate over the centuries? How did war, conflict, international or domestic commerce affect our decisions concerning the manufacturing of money? And how do people fit into this equation?
I did find out, too, that there were many, many developments in the currency of Canada from our beginnings as a country to the modern times. And I began to realize that this reflected what it meant for me to be a Canadian. And I had an intuitive sense that history is so important and conserving history is so important. That therefore, from that moment on, I began to check change, began to visit relatives, began to visit local merchants, began to look through all of the coins in their cash register. Money! And I began a collection which built up every year since until the present time.
Father Bernie built up a collection amassing some 3,000 coins, bills, promissory notes, tokens, and military and commemorative medals. He pointed out a number of them to me from the pages of a recently published catalog. Here was a medal for the 1969 Apollo 11 space mission, and there a 7th century BC coin, thought to be the earliest known currency from the ancient kingdom of Lydia. But Father Bernie was no ordinary collector, so I was curious.
Now, you are a priest. You work here and in the Vatican, but, you know, it struck me as a little bit odd. Here is Father
it
Bernie.
It struck a number of people as odd.
That of all the things you could have chosen to collect, that you decided to collect something as consumerist as money.
Yes.
So tell me, what was it? Is there anything spiritual in money?
In my opinion, yes. I have never in 45 years purchased an item or traded for an item solely for its investment potential. Never once. But I would use these items in the classroom to teach. I would use them for lectures to civic groups and to charitable groups and agencies and for the media. And it was always to explain some facet of history and keeping alive an historical memory, which could be very, very important. And the spiritual dimension is exactly that. We are a people who build upon tradition. We're a people who work with tradition. That's a religious tenet. And we're able to construct positively some new insights arising from that tradition. That's the point of the Pope's recent encyclical on the economy. And several times in it, he speaks about the importance of a new understanding or a new vision. One might say this is my personal application of that challenge to find something new in money other than simply a resource and something to fill our bank accounts.
Father Bernie never filled his bank account with his growing collection. Rather, he enthusiastically shared it with others. Taking his passion into the classroom, he used his collection to teach hands-on history, making it come alive for his students. Eventually, it was Father Bernie's love of education that made up his mind. He would auction off his collection and donate the proceeds to a study and research grant. But little did he expect that the auction would net some 550,000 Canadian dollars. Hardly believing his good fortune, Father Bernie set up the scholarship with the Ferguson Foundation in Ottawa to assist university students pursuing the study of the history of economics and the development of currency systems, and to help authors wishing to publish research in the field.
I had made a commitment to my family more than 20 years ago that before I turned the age of 60, I would auction the collection and donate the proceeds from this. In some ways, as a memorial to my family, to my father particularly. And also to be able to say to the public, you know, for one thing, whatever our resources, we are not taking them beyond the grave. Let's do something positive with them on this side of eternity that can benefit future generations. And that was my hope. And for that reason, I committed myself to donating the entire amount, which would be in excess of probably €500,000.
That's quite amazing. Well, so who actually stands to benefit from this scholarship?
Well, there's basically two groups of people. One would be university students. Any student in any university across Canada is eligible to apply. And if they're going to pursue a field of study related to the history of economics and currency, they're eligible. Also, there are many people who do private research, and there are many professional researchers for history who don't have the finances to publish a book or to even explore the possibility of research or publishing articles. This money can assist them to achieve that end. And so further, the field of knowledge for scholars and for the general public.
You have to forgive me, but I'm going to be the devil's advocate.
Oh, go ahead. Have fun.
Why not a scholarship for theological studies? You're a priest, after all.
Yes, but this is a coin collection that primarily reflects a secular value, even though it has serious theological implications for me personally, and I've written extensively on this. But the bottom line, I thought it would be in keeping with the theme of currency to allow it to be open for a secular purpose, and then let the persons who are the recipients discover that it was given for a spiritual and theological motive, and also by a man who says that there is very much good even in such a thing as money, as long as we don't make acquiring it the be-all of our existence. The symbolic value of it is important, and the cultural value is important. Those are spiritual themes, too. But it seemed appropriate to me to show the goodness of the secular achievement of currency and to pay tribute to it.
You have collected these items for more than 40 years.
Yes.
It must have been so difficult for you to see them go.
Well, actually, it's very interesting you say that, because the Canadian media, television and radio, every one of the interviewers asked the same question. And they're shocked when I say it was of no deep feeling of emotion whatsoever.
Really?
And still isn't. Because for 20 years, I've been preparing for this for half my collecting life, almost.
But you had no idea it was going to make that much money.
No, none. I expected about one third. And so thanks to eBay and online bidding and mail bidding and things that I didn't even know about 20 years ago, the change was enormous and quite unexpected. And I was so pleased. I had offered five masses, the intention of which that God would bless this sale. And God came through wonderfully. And quite unexpectedly, as God so often does, I asked his blessing and he blessed. So I was very, very happy to keep my end of the bargain.
You said you began when you were 12, when you
yes.
found that coin in the wall.
Yes.
What were some of the other things that you'll just remember, you know, as being your favorite coins or medals or whatever?
Oh, there's a many. I also collect a paper currency, and one piece, for example, involved my own little island in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, and a very famous historical battle which occurred there in the 1740s. Well, as it turned out, some Americans who then were living under the British Crown came up to seize the fortress on my island, and they had to be paid. So the government of those American colonies...
In other words, they were mercenaries?
They were mercenaries, mm-hmm. who were conscripted by the British and told to march on foot the hundreds and hundreds of miles of treacherous walking to eastern Canada. They had to be paid. So the government of one colony, New Hampshire, issued a special note of currency to pay those mercenaries, and they issued it in 1744. While I was wandering around a rare bookstore in Connecticut, a man was restoring an old encyclopedia, and he found in the binding paper of the 18th century, the period of the encyclopedia, and it contained that a note payable to those mercenaries from the state of New Hampshire. And he said, do you want to buy this? I said, fine, I don't even know what it is. And I took it home and discovered the unique connection to my island. It's probably the only note of its kind known, and it was one of the items featured in the sale. Certainly one of my favorites. It hung above my piano in my home for 30 years. Just an exciting, exciting touch crossing two countries, and indeed continents, and coming to rest in my living room.
My goodness, my goodness. I also read in your little introduction to this auction that when you were 17, your parents said, hey, Bernie, we don't like you driving your motorcycle around town. What are we going to do about that?
Oh, there was nothing we were going to do. We were going to do about it. It was what they decided to do, because I had had a little encounter with a neighboring car and lost and spent a week in hospital.
Oh,
they were
goodness.
Very disturbed by it, especially because I didn't have a valid license.
So the Naughty boy.
Naughty boy, exactly. I realized better afterwards. But they said, look, this worries us so much that we would be grateful if you would please consent to sell it. We're not going to order you, but we're going to ask you to please do it. I said, most certainly, if I can spend the money in any way I see fit. Agreed. So when I get out of hospital, I went into my living room where I had a little desk, and on the desk was a check for about, I think it was $250 Canadian, a fair bit of money for the time. And I went straight to the telephone and I ordered one of the notes that was featured in this auction, a very rare $4 bill issued in Canada in 1902. And I had always wanted it. And I finally had the money to buy it, and I bought it. My father nearly had a heart attack, and he thought he was raising a complete idiot. Who would pay that much money for a piece of old paper currency? But we had agreed, and he kept his word, and I proceeded. And it sold for about $2,500 in the auction. Yes. But it was a lovely piece that I used for many civic groups to show an important period in Canadian history.
What was the most that you think you ever spent for an item?
I remember after I graduated from law school, I did a lot of volunteer work for some American organizations, among which there were a number of coin collectors. And I accepted nothing from it, and it probably it amounted to quite a few $1,000s. So no bill, fine and dandy. But they said, we really feel obligated to give you something. And I said, fine. They said, what coin would you most like to have? And I said, in all truth, I would like to have a 1921 Canadian half dollar. It's beyond my wildest expectations to get. It's very valuable. The cheapest one would be about $10,000 Canadian,
oh my goodness,
which would be about $6,500 to $7,000 US at the time. They said, consider it done.
No.
If we can find one, we will buy it because we owe you that at least. So lo and behold, a number of calls were made and inquiries, and they found the only one that had come on the market for quite a number of years. That features in the collection. and to my astonishment, it sold for $36,000 Canadian.
My goodness.
Beyond all expectations.
Wow. But you've got coins here. I mean, going back to the year 885, a Viking Danish coin.
Yes.
And you've got things going back into the Middle Ages, the early Middle Ages, 1042, 1066.
Yes. And if we turn the page of the catalog that you're perusing, you're going to see 7th century B.C., and 5th and 4th century B.C., ancient Rome, ancient Greece, Lydia, and what is today ancient Turkey. There's one sample of a piece issued somewhere around 650 B.C. that's probably among the world's first coins to have come into existence. So you're correct. We cover the scope of history here.
My goodness.
And that was the intent.
Do any of these that date back to the early centuries come from the period when Jesus would have been?
Yes, in fact, in the same listing, there are coins of Pontius Pilate that he issued in his role within Judea. And there's coins of the Jewish revolt periods, various Holy Land-related pieces. But certainly the Pontius Pilate piece would very possibly have been familiar to Jesus and his disciples. I rather expect they certainly would have known it. They possibly also knew some of the Greek pieces that are listed here. There are various references in scripture to shekels and to foreign currencies being exchanged for temple currency, and very probably some of these Greek pieces would have been used by Jewish adherents who were among Greek populations, not uncommon at the time.
I mean, when you pick these items up, these coins, these bills, do you in some way become the countless people who have held them in their hands over the centuries?
That's a wonderful image, because that's exactly true. There is a continuity. For example, there's notes that are featured in this collection from a period when bills were hand-signed. Now, we look at a modern U.S. dollar as an example, very familiar to many people, and we see two signatures on the bottom. Well, originally, those would have been hand-signed signatures. Today, they're machine-produced. And there are some of them here that were hand-signed by persons who also signed a very famous document in North America called the Declaration of Independence. These people touched it. They held it. They signed it. There's notes here that were printed by the very famous Benjamin Franklin, whom we know not only for his role in American colonialism, but as a scientist and his work with lightning and the conduct of electricity and so forth. No question about it, you are touching what had generations before you had touched. You're part of that flow of people who found in this some usefulness and, I guess, a symbolic tribute to the resourcefulness of humanity in commercial transactions.
If you could talk through Vatican Radio to the recipients of this new scholarship, what would you say to them?
I would say to them, I'm delighted that you've taken an interest academically in trying to understand more profoundly what it means for us to be an economically motivated people. What does it mean for our civilization to engage in trade and to engage in commerce? What can we learn from the past that will allow us to perhaps be more ethical in our commercial transactions, as the Pope has advocated? What can we learn to take us beyond a mindset of greed and of bank account build-up and instead see something which in many ways is fundamental to our culture, to our civilization, but which from which we can still learn tremendous lessons?
Does Father Bernie have any new collections in mind?
No, not one. I've collected stamps. I've collected postcards. Oh, I've collected many things. And people are asking me everywhere I go, well, now that you've stopped this collection, what's the next one? I said, I'm collecting goodwill.
Doesn't that sound like something we would all do well to collect? Just think how our efforts would grow in value. Father Bernie O'Connor, an official at the Pontifical Council for Eastern Churches. The best of luck to him for his new venture and to those who stand to benefit from it.